mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Meditate this day on the Old Testament appointed for this Sunday. It's always a test of faith when a loved one is taken from this life. But the greatest test may come when one has to give up one's own child. So one wonders what Abraham could have done, that God would test him in such an extreme way, as we heard this morning, tempting him not only to taking the life of his own son, but in a sense by destroying the future of God's church, obeying his commandment, killing off the line from which God himself said the Messiah was to come. There is Abraham, torn between the two. Does he obey God, or does he lose salvation? Should he disobey God and save the Savior? What would he do for, perhaps more appropriate, if not the father of your faith, in what would Abraham trust? This was really the whole issue from the outset. The words of the angel of the Lord make it clear that this temptation was a test to see in whom Abraham really had placed his fear, his love, and his trust. Not that the Lord didn't know, but that he wanted Abraham to know experientially, to see this in action, not only for Abraham's benefit, but for Isaac's benefit, and for your benefit as well. It was akin to the way a lawyer might make an objection during a trial, knowing that the judge will likely rule against him, but wanting that objection on the record, lest the lack of such an objection should haunt his client during a later appeal. The Lord wanted Abraham's faith on the record. The Lord wanted on the record where Abraham's faith really was, where his confidence for salvation was placed. And so we hear this from the Lord's own words. Now I know, he says, that you fear God and would not withhold your only son from me. From those words, we might conclude that it was not openly apparent to those around Abraham before this episode that Abraham loved the son of his old age, even while considering him the bearer of the messianic promise. Perhaps Abraham looked at his son in such a way that his faith were in the boy himself rather than in the offspring, the seed, who would later come to earth as one of Isaac's descendants. Things may look that way to you and me too. For example, we give thanks to the doctor who, through his miraculous medical practice, treated us and cured us from what ailed us, rather than the God who stands behind the doctor's skills. Or perhaps we can do that with a pastor too, simply calculating how much we like or enjoy his presence rather than upon the Christ that he gives to us. But the question I wish to address to you today is this: how do others see your faith, and how do they view your church? What information would they have had, and what would they have had concluded if you had been in Abraham's sandals? Abraham, on his journey, had 3 days to consider this whole question. And when at last we are told in the we can be certain that's what Abraham thought, because the writer of Hebrews tells us so. As he must live, or no one lives, since from my son will come the one who will crush the serpent's head. As the writer of the Hebrews says, Abraham considered as he looked up on the third day of the journey that God would raise even Isaac from the dead if necessary. So he piles the wood on Isaac, and he carries Isaac, that is, carries the tool of his own death up that hill, trusting in either a substitute or a resurrection. Does Abraham, trusting only in his father's love, walks on that. And having heard this word of promise from the spokesman, the Lord had given him his own father, Isaac is again at ease, and Moses again says that they walk, the two of them together. Despite what his eyes may have suggested, Isaac walked with Abraham. And here, dear friends, is the thing that ought to become part of your being today. That when there is doubt in your life, and there will be, and when there is God's true word, then there is no doubt. There can be no contest between your doubt and God's word. That when God's word is spoken to you, the only word from your heart should be Amen. Let it be, Lord, as you have said, knowing that all the buts and the what ifs have already been taken into account by your God. It was with such an assurance that Abraham both believed and spoke, and with such assurance that Isaac walked that same path of faith with his father, confessing the same God and the same thing about him. God would provide the lamb. So it was that word which your Lord Jesus trusted in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was the word of his Father that your Lord Jesus trusted on the path to Calvary's cross, when his Father, under the authorities, laid the wood upon him so that he would be your substitute, so that he would be sacrificed in your place. Jesus knew that whatever the pain he bore, his Father's will was best and must be fulfilled. So he walked with his Father, and though being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, he humbled himself and became, we are told, obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And the writer of Hebrews tells us again, for the joy that was set before him, he, Jesus, endured the cross, despising this shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Despising the shame of the cross, knowing of the Father's promise of resurrection, is your hope too. For your Lord Jesus, knowing what the Word of God said, that despite his crucifixion, God's Holy One would not see decay, and that the sign of Jonah would be accomplished in his life, so that on the third day of his being in the belly of the earth, the Son of Man would once again return to speak the word that brings repentance for all who worship idols, that is, all who fear, love, or trust in anything above God at any time, for even a moment, knowing this, that Jesus trusted that what his Father willed was for his best, and he walked on. And as Jesus waited for the joy that was set before him, so that he endured the cross, so his Father also lifted up his eyes to the hills of Golgotha, just like Father Abraham did, where his son was now so far away from him, abandoned there on the cross. My God, my God, forsaken me. And the father knew that on the third day his son would be restored to him, so that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now for you and all who keep his word, from Abraham down to this present day, to you and me, God's promise says we shall not taste of death. That does not mean we will not go through earthly death. And to the world, and even to you, the sorrow and suffering of your life may seem to have no end, but the fact is that sorrow and suffering will never reach the level that it should reach for you and all sinners. For God will never put you on a hill and abandon you there. And the reason is because you trust in Christ's payment for your sins. Such confidence is based on this one great fact, that God himself would provide a lamb for the offering. That was the only way it could be. Abraham learned to know that. The Lord must provide the substitute for Isaac and for all sinners. He must raise up from the sons of Adam, from death to life in him. Thus you walk in faith with Father Abraham, because God has provided the lamb. And that mighty ram, as it were, whose head was caught in the thorn bush, making a gruesome crown for him, as his power was restrained. And that lamb of God has been sacrificed for you, the lamb of God that takes away your sin and the sin of the world. And as your Father speaks, so you believe. When his Spirit records in his word that his Son has done this, you believe it even though you can't see it. And when it is written that the bread and wine on the Passover table are that very body and blood of the true Lamb of God, you look there to the altar and you see what has been sacrificed for you, the Lord Jesus, who yet feeds you with that same body and that same blood, by that same word, joining you bread and wine. And looking to the altar and to the cross on which the body and blood were sacrificed, you walk just as Abraham and Isaac walked that day. You are kept together with the angel of the Lord, kept together with Christ Jesus, as you confess in the explanation of the Apostles' Creed, walking together with him in the one true faith. And so you walk. You walk together with all who walk this path, all whose fellowship is in this meal, the meal of the Lamb, which the Lord God has provided. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.